Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts 13. And we're going to read a verse here, and I want to explain to you what we're going to be doing in the next several weeks. I'm not sure how many weeks this will take us. Probably until I decide we won't continue to deal with this subject. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Now notice here in verse 13 of Acts 13, now when, who is it? Paul and his company, loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. I was thinking of preaching some biographies of some of the people in the Bible, and I really couldn't come to a peace on that because there's so many people we could preach on. And I came across a book by one of my favorite authors, D. Edmund Hebert, and the book is called In Paul's Shadow, and Friends and Foes of the Great Apostle. Well, I wasn't necessarily interested in dealing with his foes, but I did want to consider the friends of the Apostle Paul. And there are several of them in the New Testament. However, I want to entitle this message, The Friendships of the Apostle Paul. Because obviously, when we are looking at his friendships, it would do us well to at least take one sermon to look at Paul himself. And of course, we could, as we did in the case of Moses, we could spend several weeks dealing with Paul, because obviously he's written much of the New Testament. He is a dominant figure in the book of Acts. And so I wanted to, though, introduce our study of these friendships of Paul. Now, I want to first of all mention the dominating personality of Paul. Now, not everybody is an A personality. Not everyone is the kind of person that Paul was. And yet, one thing that you do see with the Apostle Paul is that he definitely was a dominant personality. We are introduced to him. Now, I took you to Acts 13, but if you go over to the book of Acts chapter 7, we're introduced to him for the very first time. He was quite a scoundrel. And we want to look at his conversion, because in chapter 7, we're told that the Apostle Paul, in verse 58, when Stephen was being stoned, in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, he cast him out of the city, and they stoned him, talking about Stephen. Stephen was the first deacon. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, we're told also in chapter 8, verse 1, after this, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostle Paul saw Paul, he became Paul, but we do see that he, in chapter 9, is on the road to Damascus. And most of us are familiar with that story, but for those of you that may be on the internet have never heard this story, let me explain it to you. The scripture tells us that on his way to killing Christians and having them killed and arrested, it tells us that he, in verse 3 in Acts chapter 9 journeyed. He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now that's a very interesting thing, because Saul thought he was serving God. Now think of the many people who are very religious. Could be you. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you could be one of those people that you're a very faithful church person. You believe the Bible. You read the Bible. Saul was a very religious person, and he thought he was doing the Lord's work. But we're told that in verse 5, Jesus said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So just as you are goaded, or like in the case of a horse, you kick the horse and you goad that horse to go. Saul was constantly under the conviction that there's something wrong about what he was doing. We call that conscience. Even unsaved people have a conscience. And as an unsaved person, he found it very difficult. So, verse 6, he trembled and astonished, said, verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him in verse 6, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, and he had been scales, and he received sight. And he arose and was baptized. So this is the conversion of the apostle Paul, who at that time was known as Saul. And so we see his conversion. The second thing regarding his dominating personality is his leadership. I want you to notice something that we just read. He was one of those people that was in leadership before he got saved. He was one of the head guys to accomplish this purging of Christianity. So obviously they looked at him as a very promising young man. As Stephen was being stoned, they cast the clothes before him. And Saul was somebody who was in a place of leadership. So now that he's saved, interestingly enough, we're told that in verse 27, Barnabas took him after he was saved in Acts 8:9, verse 27, and brought him to the apostles. And at the end of verse 27, he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And interestingly, we find in chapter 11, verse 22, that tidings of these things, this is of the church at Antioch, tidings of these things came into the elders of the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas to go and deal with these new converts. And verse 23, and when he came, and he's seen, verse 23 of Acts chapter 11, the grace of God, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And we're told in verse 25, he departed, then departed Barnabas to seek who? Saul. So Barnabas said, you know, this guy is a fireball, and he is profitable for the ministry. Now think about that. Do you know of anybody that's profitable for the ministry? And here was Barnabas who saw in Paul, or saw that he was profitable for the ministry. And we're told that in chapter 13, it says that in verse 1, while he was there for a while, Barnabas and Saul, that there was in the church, verse 1 of chapter 13, at Antioch, certain prophets. And there was Barnabas there. We see that in the list. And the last name in verse 1 is who? Saul. And they ministered as they ministered to the Lord. Now, I find that very interesting. You know, sometimes people say, you know, I'd like to serve the Lord. Well, then why aren't you? And the interesting thing is that God saw that they were serving the Lord, so he had a greater ministry for them. And we're told, verse 2, as they ministered, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, notice this word phrasing, Barnabas and Saul. So Saul, under the leadership and the mentoring of an older Christian who was following the Lord, he is now going to be called with this individual to go and be in the ministry. Because you remember, we saw at his conversion that Saul was going to be profitable for God to preach the gospel throughout the known world. Now, we're told in chapter 13, in verse 5, that when they were at Salamis, and so they departed, verse 4, and went to Cyprus, and when they were there, they preached the word of God in the synagogues. And they also, John, to their minister. Now, we're told in verse 7 that there was a deputy of the country called Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. And notice here it says, who called for who? Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. And Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, verse 8, withstood him, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, and here we have it, Saul being the Hebrew name, who is also called by the Greek name Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And he says in verse 10, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And verse 11, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw that was done, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, it says he believed. Now, this was a turning point for Saul. Because what you're going to now see when you come into chapter 13, and let me show you, we're told in verse 43 of chapter 13. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed who? Who is it? Paul and Barnabas. You'll see it again, verse 46. than Paul and Barnabas. You'll see it in verse 50. Paul and Barnabas. So from the time that Saul takes a strong stand, from that time on, he becomes the leader. And it's interesting because in verse 13, and this is the verse we started with, it tells us here in verse 13 that after that event, now when Paul, and notice these words, and his company. Literally, Paul and those who were surrounding Paul. He is now the leader. And we know for a fact that his leadership is going to be recognized. We're going to see that in chapter 15 when he comes to the Jerusalem church. If we were to study that, you would see that also in the book, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, where the apostle Peter makes it very clear that when Paul was writing, he was writing under the inspiration of God. So when we look at 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration, that refers to the New Testament, Old Testament. But in 2 Peter, it makes it very clear the writings in the New Testament were equally inspired of God. So this is why we see his conversion, we see his leadership. And then we see his influence, those who were around him. And this is where I'm going with this. Because we could spend a lot of time, couldn't we, studying the life of Paul. But what about those who were around him? Or as it says in verse 13, as it described him as Paul and his company. Who are these people? And of course, there's going to be other people as we study them through the New Testament. So, I just wanted you to see the dominating personality of Paul. The second thing, and this will be our final point, though I have 4 points under that, and that is the friendships of Paul. The friendships of Paul. What kind of guy was he? Now, you don't have to be in the dark over this because all you have to do is read the New Testament and you'll find out what kind of guy the Apostle Paul is. Well, one thing that we see, and particularly in this arena, is that he yearned for friendship and he was a loyal friend. He yearned for friendship and he was a loyal friend. 4 things here. Number one that we see here is that he had a personal interest in people as individuals. Now sometimes, you know, I look at someone like Paul and say, man, it'd be wonderful to be used of God like Paul. Well, you probably won't be used of God like Paul if you do not have a personal interest in people as individuals. You know, it's one thing to get up and preach to a crowd. It's another thing to look at you as individuals. And to walk through the crowd. Jesus never just simply saw the masses. The Bible tells us that Jesus walked slowly through the crowd. Colossians chapter 1, let's go there. And again, we're just looking at Paul here. Colossians chapter 1. Now he's going to, from then on, be called Paul. He's going to call himself Paul in his writings in the New Testament. And if you look at chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle. And if you look at chapter 1, verse 28, he talks about the hope of glory, which is Christ. Now the end of verse 27 talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. But notice what he says in verse 28. In whom we, what? Now why, Paul? Why are you always talking about Jesus? Warning. Who? Every man. And teaching every man. I wonder how many Christians make sure they talk to everyone they possibly can about Jesus. Now, it is an interesting thing. I was kicking myself just thinking about it. I was thinking about David Losey. I mentioned he was the guy at the cemetery that I knew when I was in sixth grade. And I chatted with him a little bit, and then he just kind of disappeared. And I thought, I didn't give him a track. Because he was asking me about our church. He said, I wonder if you're a pastor, because you were holding that Bible. And I didn't even give him a tract. And I wonder how many opportunities I have lost. You know, think about the different people you work with, the neighbors you have, the friends you have. And of course, sometimes we want to try to build friendships, but sometimes we're just plain yellow when it comes to giving the gospel, not Paul. Because he saw every individual, and he says, I'm warning them that we may present every man, look at verse 28 again, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And having experienced Christ himself, he wanted others to have that same experience. Is our Christianity that significant to us that we say, man, you need this? Now, Paul also was, and we could have talked about this in his character, he was a polarizing guy. He had people gravitate to him. He had people who hated him. And the interesting thing is, he didn't let that keep him from sharing his faith. He had a personal interest in people as individuals. Secondly, I want you to see this. He was sensitive to the needs of people. He was sensitive to the needs of people. Now, to get an idea of what kind of a burden he had, look over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here he's speaking about the Corinthians. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and notice verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now, think about this. This is a guy who invested his time, his talents, his life. He went out and worked making tents so that he would not be chargeable to anybody, so that he could give the gospel to people. And when he gave the gospel to people and people got saved, that's what happens. And when they got saved, he just poured his life into them. He was sensitive to the needs of people. He was truly willing to just get his life and put his shoulder under their burdens. And he truly made it a responsibility of his to meet the needs of people. And it cost him. He'd go from this town to the next town, and then he ended up getting arrested. And if you go to chapter 11 of this book, verse 24, and you're familiar with this, of the Jews, verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, or three times, was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils, in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watching often, in hunger and thirst, fasting and cold and nakedness. In verse 28, and beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. What was it? The care. He cared about them. So he yearned for friendship and was a loyal friend because he had a personal interest in people as individuals. He was sensitive to their needs. And he had a genuine love for them. We saw in Romans chapter 12 the other night, have love without hypocrisy. And that speaks of the Apostle Paul. Let me give you a few examples of that. Look over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And we're told here in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, it took time to sit down and write a letter to these people. And he says, I am always, verse 4, in every prayer of mine for you and making requests with what? Joy. For your fellowship in the gospel. He said, I just love your fellowship. I just like getting around you people. And even when I'm not around you, I'm still fellowshipping with you in prayer. Look over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 7, we're told about this church. In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 7, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel only, but what? Now what does that mean? We didn't just give you the plan of salvation. We poured our lives into you. Because you were dear to us. Ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. See, Paul wasn't a last one in, first one out type of guy. Paul was the kind of a guy that would sometimes just stick around and just visit and visit and visit. And I have been in churches that have been very large, and sometimes my wife and I are the last ones to leave. Because, you know, we're talking to people, we're ministering to people, we're helping with people, day and night, just wanting to be a help to you. That's Paul. And we could go to other portions of Scripture, but let me give you the fourth thing under the friendships of Paul. He recognized his need for people. So this is it. He was not a loner. This was Paul. He knew he needed to spend time with others. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we get a sense of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, notice verse 13, or look at verse 12. When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. So I couldn't stand not being around him. I'm not satisfied just going my own way. I wanted to see Titus. Or back over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Philippians 2, verse 19. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state. So I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus. You know, I want to send him to you because you need him. Look over to 1 Thessalonians 3, and I'm jumping you back and forth to see these, but I want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now you say, well, he wanted to be alone. Well, he got kicked out in Thessalonica. And it says, we thought to be alone. But, verse 2, and I sent Timotheus our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you. So I did that. I was by myself to be so that they could be a help to you. But the interesting thing is, if you go over to the book of Acts, chapter 20, or chapter 17, I think it is. Acts chapter 17. Yeah. So he was alone, but look at verse of Acts 17, verse 16. While Paul waited for them. Who's them? Verse 15. That Paul was brought into Athens, that's what we just read in 1 Thessalonians, and receiving commandment to Silas and Timotheus to come with him with all speed. And while he waited for them, he gave them the gospel. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here is the last book that the Apostle Paul had written before he had died. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he was in that prison, verse 11, only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me to the ministry. Now, question. Was Paul a loner? What did he do? When he went on his first missionary, who did he take? Barnabas. And when that didn't work out, he then picked up who? Silas. And he also picked up Timothy. And he picked up these people. Why? Because he knew he needed their fellowship. And he recognized that he had a desire to fellowship with those other Christians. He deeply appreciated, as Hebert says, the contribution that his friends made to his own life and placed a high value on their friendship. Paul appreciated, Hebert goes on, the value of Christian friends because of his deep conviction that fellowship with other believers was the true outcome of the experience of salvation. Now, let me translate that and we'll pray. Folks, we need each other. We need to be very careful about this isolationist mentality. We need the fellowship of believers. And that's the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at the type of people because he had shrewd judgment and discernment about the kind of friends he had. And we're going to see those friends in the weeks to come on Wednesday night. Now, Lord, we are truly amazed at how you and your grace could take a man who was literally having Christians killed and turning him into a leader that would be used of you in your glory so that he could mentor others because he saw that he had a need to be a help to these people. He was sensitive to their needs. He had genuine love for them, and they in turn loved him in return because he knew the contribution that his friends made to his own life. And Lord, help us to be, at least in that regard, like Paul. And help us as we study this aspect of the biography of the friends of Paul. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.